could turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 26. We're going to conclude today. We're going to conclude a series of sermons we looked at a little while ago that we kind of got interrupted with when Easter came along and Pastor Danny preached and a few things happened. We're going to return and finish off today the thought of moving life forward. How many people in the room want to move your life forward? Lift up your hand if you want to move life forward, because I'm preaching to you today. If you're not interested in moving life forward, you can take the next 30 minutes off. But for everybody else today, we're here to move life forward. And I want to encourage you with some thoughts packaged around what I spoke about a few weeks ago when I talked about the names of God. We started a little thought about the redemptive names of God. The Bible has a lot of revelations where God turned up on the scene or spoke into a circumstance or situation and revealed his nature by revealing his name. You know, the names of God reveal so much about who he is, about what he does, about how he cares for us, and how we walk with him in relationship with him. And one of the big thoughts I have to start with today is that God is a never-changing God in ever-changing circumstances. God is a never-changing God in our ever-changing circumstances. You know, the truth is circumstances always change, but God never does. Theologians call it the immutability of God. The fact that God is unchanging. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. There's a sense of consistency and a sense that God is just constant. He's constant. You don't have to guess how God will respond. You don't have to try and think, will God do this or God do that? We know exactly how God will respond because God is a never-changing God. As opposed to our circumstances, circumstances always change. If you live long enough, you're going to have many different seasons in life. Seasons of change, socially, economically, health-wise, relationally. You'll go through all kinds of challenges and difficulties and circumstances and different seasons where you change. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago, and you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be the same person. We're supposed to be ever changing. But the thing about God is God never changes. He is always the same. And so in our seasons of change, in our seasons of trouble and our seasons of shift, it's important to know and understand this about the names of God, is that God's names reveal who he is to us. So the first name we looked at a few weeks ago was Jehovah Shammah, which means this, the ever-present God. Isn't it a comforting thought to know that God is always with you? God is always with you. He is our ever-present God. The second name we looked at is Jehovah Gabor. It means the Lord strong in battle. You know, God's a fighter, and he's a fighter on your behalf. We sung it before. There's another in the fire. Whenever there's fire, God's there. He's there with us in every circumstance, every situation, in every impossible event that you might find yourself involved in life. God is there fighting for you, fighting with you, and surrounding you in that circumstance. And then finally, the last name we looked at was Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that provides for us. He's the Lord, the God that provides for us. So let's go to our reading today. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verse 1. It says this, a severe famine. Stop there. A severe famine hit the land. You know, we've had a severe famine kind of hit our land, hit the lands of the world, and it's hitting other countries in a more challenging way than it is for us at the moment. Every now and then we get a little pop like happened in the international airport this week when, you know, the COVID thing, a few people went into a space they shouldn't have been in and it frightens everybody and we all think, are we going into shutdown again? And Western Australia goes into shutdown and panic And you know what's happening in India today? It's terrible. It's shocking. It's horrendous what's happening and taking place around the world in terms of this modern day famine that we are experiencing. These things happen. They happen. And in the Old Testament, this is kind of like a pandemic right here, where there's a severe famine that struck the land, as happened before. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It might be new to us, but notice this, it's happened before. So if it's happened before, you can learn from what happened before. You can learn from history. So it said it happened before in Abraham's time. And so Isaac, who was Abraham's son, Isaac moved to Gerar, is what this says. A strange place, I'll introduce it to you in a moment. Gerar, where Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, lived. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you." In other words, stop the direction that you're going in, because it's the wrong direction, Isaac. Stop right there. Stay in Gerar. Don't go any further. Don't go to Egypt. Live here as a foreigner in the land. Live in this place, and I'll be with you, and I will bless you. And I will confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed to all of my requirements, commands, and regulations and laws. And so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Can I give you the background? The background of this little section of scripture here is that Abraham, who's known as the father of our faith, had a vision of a new land, a promised land that he and the Israelites would all live in, and they'd all go to, that God had promised it for them. It was a 1,500 kilometer journey to settle in the promised land in Canaan. So he went on the journey, took his son Isaac and others in the family that went along for this journey, and they moved into untamed and uncharted territory. They'd not been in there before, and they went there to farm the land, to believe for a better day. So they were pioneers. And Abraham, he passed away. And so now Isaac finds himself pioneering the land. He finds himself working the promised land. You know, I think a lot of believers today think that blessed lifestyles and blessed living and the promises of God are just handed to us. I think a lot of believers actually believe that. But you know, after walking with God for 40 odd years, nearly 50 years now, can I just say this, that everything that I've received from God, I've had to believe for and I've had to fight for. Everything that I've received from God, I've had to believe for and I've had to fight for. There's a fight of faith to stand believing when life is not working. When life is not working, you've got to fight for your faith. When life is unraveling, you've got to fight for your future and walk through some challenges of life with a believing spirit, a faith spirit, and a faithful spirit. So this is Isaac. He's in the land. He's cultivating. He's pioneering. And then famine comes. And when this pandemic of famine comes into the land, a lot of farmers around Isaac, they give up. They walk away. They start returning to Egypt, and there's this stream of people that are returning to Egypt, because Egypt historically was a place of refuge. It was a place that people returned to when life got hard. It was a place where they knew how to store food, and so they had food and feed for people. So all those that were doing it hard in the famine would return to Egypt. It was their natural thing to do. It was their reasonable thing to do. It was their reasoning that would lead them back to Egypt when life got hard. And so they were leaving their farms, giving up on the dream and giving up on their future. And Isaac's in the middle of it. So Isaac is headed back to Egypt. He stops at Gerar for a short season. And then in Gerar, God speaks to him. It's interesting that Gerar is halfway between Egypt and Canaan. So halfway in this moment of retreat, in this moment of pulling back, where Isaac is returning to the familiar, what he knew in life, leaving the promise of God and just giving up on it and saying, "I've had enough, I'm done. I'm going home. I'm taking my bat and ball and I'm going to go back to Egypt where I know there's food for me. Instead of believing for the promise, he starts to retreat towards the natural and the thing that he was comfortable with. Here's the thought about circumstances for us, like Isaac. Circumstances will always challenge the promise of God to your life and in your life. Circumstances always do. They always come as an obstacle. They always come as a challenge. You will always have a reason to pull back. You will always have a reason to go neutral. You'll always have a reason or situation or circumstance to cause you to want to put your life in reverse as opposed to go forward towards the promises of God. Our challenge is to stay postured and to stay positioned in a believing way rather than a retreating way. And for Isaac, it was listening to what God told him to do and doing what God told him to do. So God said this, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in the land, and I'll be with you, and I will bless you. My first big thought tonight today is this, is don't be moved by circumstance. Don't let the circumstance of this pandemic and the pressure of it, economically, socially, relationally, move your posture. Move your believing, move you in terms of the promises of God. Because God literally speaks here to Isaac and says, this is what he's saying, don't let this current economic circumstance and situation move your heart. Don't let it shift your home and shift your family and shift your promise. Don't let it get you off course. You've made progress here. Stay with it. Stick with it. Keep sowing seed into this moment and this famine will be broken. I will sustain you and I will move your life forward. I think the one thing we need to make sure we have when famine or pandemic or challenge or circumstance or difficulty come is this, is we need to have an understanding and a belief, a platform, a foundation where we understand and have faith that God is. That God is able to work it out when it's not working. That God can work life out for you when life is not working. And that God will always work on your behalf. So if God was to sit down and have a conversation with you today, what would he say? What would he say to you about your circumstance, about your situation? He'd probably say, don't lose heart. Don't lose confidence. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on my word. Don't give up on my promise. Don't give up on the expectation that you have. Don't change your expectation because of a challenging day, night, month, year, decade, whatever it might be. God would say, don't give up on that. Don't lose focus because of a famine. You know, I believe this passage speaks to us very clearly today about the posture that we need to have and the heart that we need to have when we go through challenging and changing circumstances where God wants us to understand, don't panic. Don't panic. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't get off course. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your heart. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your future. Don't lose your love for God, your devotion for God, because life gets a little bit challenging. Life is always challenging. It's always challenging. Who said life wasn't meant to be easy? They were right. I don't know who said that. Was it Paul Keating? Sounds something like a Paul Keating would say. Life wasn't meant to be easy. Life wasn't meant to be easy. And there's a sense where it's not easy. It's a challenge. It's a fight. And you've got to have some fight in you. Don't get caught up because of bad reports that come into your world or carried away with a spirit of retreat, because God is your very present help in time of trouble. God is your very present help in time of trouble. He's your Jehovah Shammah. He is your Jehovah. When I was younger, we used to learn the names of God in church world and in church life. We used to learn them and pray them. And in my prayer time, I would literally pray. Anyone remember those days? Literally pray the names of God. I'd read it out. Jehovah Shammah, my ever-present help in times of trouble. God's got me surrounded. He's with me. He's on me. He's in me. Thank you today, God. You're my Jehovah Shammah. Thank you, Father, today. You're my Jehovah Gabor. I love saying that. You're my Jehovah Gabor. You're the one that fights for me. You're you're strong and mighty and brave in battle. So fight for me today. May God be exalted. May God be exalted and his enemies be scattered. We pray that sort of thing. And then we get to the part, Jehovah Jireh, thank you, you're my provider. Your grace is sufficient for me today. Notice the voice range. You start to pray in that American thing. Why do we do that? Because they taught us to do that. That's why. And we prayed that way. Nothing wrong with praying that way. I believe in praying that way because there's a revelation of the names of God that help us when we're in certain moments. Here's the thought. If you can stay constant like God is constant, and if you can stay consistent like God is consistent, then in all of your inconsistencies and in all of the movement that happens around your life with difficult and challenging circumstances, you give God an opportunity to bless you. You give God an opportunity to bless. I think a lot of people fail with blessing because they're always running. They're always returning to something that they've left and they shouldn't go back to it. The Bible talks about returning to stuff you shouldn't go back to. It's like vomit. I don't know about you and vomit, but I know about me and vomit. I don't like being anywhere near vomit. I don't want to return to vomit. Why would you? Get that thing behind me and don't go there. You know, the life you have now, it's far better than the life you had when and before you were a believer. It's far better now, even though you have challenge, even though you have circumstances, even though you have situations. We just got to keep listening to the voice of God. Keep listening to the voice of God above the voice of circumstance. The second thing we need to do is to be seed-driven, not need-driven. Seed-driven, not need-driven. You know, the Bible starts in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 8 introducing a principle of the different seasons of life. And it talks about the season of seed time and harvest. And it introduces the order. And the order is seed comes before harvest. How many farmers know this? I'm no farmer. Now, I plant stuff, it doesn't grow. It dies because I don't look after it. But farmers, they look after it and they plant seed and they get a harvest. Now, we understand that in the natural. You don't get a harvest from a seed you've not planted. We understand that in the natural, but sometimes we fail to apply that in the spiritual realms. And I think God so much wants to teach us, like he teaches Isaac in this passage, to be driven not by our need, but to be driven by seed and the fact that we sow towards the harvest that we believe God wants for us to have in life. And so God speaks in this challenging moment for Isaac, this season of famine, about sowing seed for the future. And he speaks of it in verse 12 of Genesis 26, where it says of Isaac that Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year, everyone say same year. Which year? In the year that he planted, in the year of famine. He's still in the famine when he plants crops. Others were leaving the land. How stupid do you look planting when others are retreating? When others are giving up and walking away, and they're walking past your farm and they see you planting seed, sowing seed, getting the soil all ready for what you're about to do, when they see you doing that, that's called plowing, when they see you plowing and that they're selling their horses and their cattle or whatever it was, their bulls that they used to plow the land with, when they're selling it and you're buying it because you're going to invest it and you're going to sow it, everyone thinks you're crazy. You know, you look silly when you start to follow the promises of God. People in your family will think you're silly. They will. Well, you're going to church twice? You've been once this month. You have to go again? You give what? You serve where? You give time? You volunteer? They don't understand what you're doing. You're sowing towards harvest in your life. And so this is what Isaac is doing. Isaac planted. He planted in a time of harvest because of a promise of blessing. He planted in a time of famine, rather, because of a promise of blessing. He knew that God was going to bless him and provide him food if he could stay seed-driven, not need-driven. Can I encourage everyone today to understand this, that seed is always the answer to the needs we have. It's always the answer to the needs that we have. The Bible says People that lack friends because they present unfriendly. In other words, if you seed friendship, you get friendship. So you get what you give. And the Bible teaches that in numerous places. So if you want it, you sow towards it. You seed towards it. And so whatever you're giving, the Bible says, that will be returned unto you. You know, we have no right to complain about a harvest we've not sown for. No complaint about a harvest we've not given to. If we've given to it, then we can complain about it because we deserve our harvest. The Bible teaches us that we deserve the harvest that we have sown for. So you and I may not be living where we want to live right now. You may not be living the life that you want to have right now. You may not be in the season right now that you want to be in. You may not be seeing the promises of God revealed like you think they should be revealed right now. You may have some need in your life. You may have some need in your life because of circumstances right now that are uncomfortable or even uncontrollable. I want you to see that need is something that you need to seed to and seed towards for the harvest that you and God wants you to have. To sow in famine is a sign of faith. To sow in famine is a posture of faith and faithfulness, believing that God will release the future as I give the seed and present the seed or sow the seed that God has asked me to sow. So sowing is investing. Sowing is giving. Sowing is developing. Sowing is doing the good you know to do. It's sharing and caring. And if we can keep a sowing attitude in every one of our hearts, a sowing attitude in the way we do our life, in the way we invest our life, our time, our money, our talents, if we can do it in those areas, then in those areas we reap the blessing that God wants us and promises for us to have. Seed always breaks the limitations of need. This is what the Bible says in the same passage in verse 13. It says, the man, that's Isaac, he became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines, the people that were in the land of Gerar, they all envied him. So Isaac was in famine. He was retreating. Everybody else was retreating. But then God stopped him because God had in mind to bless him. Can I suggest this to you and I? When God says stop it, it's always for your benefit. When God says, stop it, stop there, stay there, it's always for your benefit. It's not to control you. It's not to dictate to you. It's not to manipulate you. It's not to get anything from you. It's simply to show you the better way, the best way, the right way that God wants you to live in terms of the promises of God. So when God said to Isaac, do not go down to Egypt, do as I tell you, live here as a foreigner in the land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, then this is what God had in mind. God had the blessing and the favor and the prosperity of Isaac and his family in mind because he wanted to bless him and bless his father, Abraham. You know, the truth is God's always got good things and great things planned for every one of us. He's always got good things and great things planned for every one of us. And if you've got any doubt about that today, I want you to secure the thought today. I want you to own it today. I want you to drill down on the thought that God wants to do good things for you. God wants to do great things for you. If you've got any doubt, you're unsure, if you question that, I want you to learn to affirm it in your spirit and your heart that God wants to move your life forward. Move your life forward. And so we sow our lives. Literally, the Bible teaches us that our lives will be lives that are sacrificial. And that's what a sacrificial life is. It's a life that sows. It's a life that gives life to others. It's a life that's generous to others. It's a life that's lavish towards others. It's such a small world to live it in such a small, narrow way, such a stingy way where we don't sow. We don't sow our lives. We don't sacrifice our lives for others, to others, for God and to God. And so God wants to lift every one of us out of that retreating famine perspective and mentality like Isaac was developing because of his circumstances, where we give up on dreams. You know, you're never too old to dream. You're never too old to dream. It doesn't matter how old you are. Is that about age? What is age anyway? What is it, Mitch? You turned, what, 40? You're a young man. 40. Some people think that 40 is old. I would love to be 40. Anyone else in the room love to be 40? I'd love to be 40. 40 is so young. So much opportunity, so much potential at 40. Yet some people at 40 think, man, my life's tough over. Tough over. I say, you've got a lot of living in front of you. 40 is so young and vibrant and youthful and the potential, and there's so much yet to be done, Mitch. So don't rest at being 40. Don't think I can't be a worship leader at 40. You know, you can still wear your skinny jeans. And you can do your hair like that. It's great. I love it. And you can wear that hat. Mitch came to me once and said, can I wear a hat on stage? Oh, you can wear whatever you like. I don't care what you wear on stage. I care about this. I don't care about that. I care about this. That's what I care about. It's hard. I don't care how old he is. I don't care how old you are. The older the better. Because when you're old, you've lived some life. When you're old, you've learnt some ways. When you're old, you've been through some famines, been through some circumstances, been through some troubles, had some pain, had some heartache. I saw a pastor this week, he put a post up on Facebook, and he said, somebody raised my past because they wanted to destroy my future. And it's like, wow, I put on there, your past is your scar, that's what makes you a star. And that's what makes you, if you're an older person in the room today, don't think you're done. There's a lot of young ones here looking at you, dependent on you, needing you to be old and fruitful in your old age. Not dried up, not like a prune. Flourishing. The Bible says you'll be flourishing and fat. I am well on my way. Believe to get there. Believe to get there, to be fruitful and flourishing. In your old age, Merv, full of life, flourishing, full of life, full of Christ, full of promise for a future, full of faith. Don't let age define you. It may slow you down a bit. I did some gardening yesterday. I've got to change the day I do my gardening, because I've got to be honest with you, I get up on Sunday morning and, well, it's hard work. I may have to sit down to preach. Because that's what old age does. It might age your body, but in your head. See, in my head, I'm 18. In my heart, I'm 18. In my body, I'm 58. Years young. Come on, let's stand together. Don't let it become an excuse. Don't let it become an excuse. You know, famine mindset, whatever the reason that it's in your heart, whether it's because of age or a stage of life or health, circumstance, situation, family, what you don't have, what you can't afford. You know, I've never been able to afford anything I've ever done in my life. I never had enough education. I was never the right person. I was either the wrong sex, the wrong age, unqualified. First job I got, shouldn't have applied for it. I was too young. Wouldn't get the job because of my age, but I applied anyway. I got the job. Started the career in the bank. Left school ahead of my peers because I was outstanding. Didn't need to finish it. I got my job that I wanted. Don't let the fact that someone says you can't do it, you can't be it, you're unqualified, you're undereducated, it's the wrong stage in life, you're too old, you're not good enough, you've had your chance. No. Don't return to Egypt. Don't return to Egypt. Listen to what God tells you to do. Because when God tells you to do it, there's a reason He's telling you to do it. Because behind the don't and the do this is a great promise. God was always going to bless Isaac. He was always going to bless him. He was always going to do great things for him. You know why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jehovah Shammah, He is my ever-present God. God's with you right now. He's with you right now. You may think He's abandoned you. You may think He's forgotten you. You may think He's neglected you. You may think He's oversighted your circumstance and your situation. You are always on His mind. You are always on His mind. There's never a moment He's not thinking about you, watching over you. He's your shepherd. If you need it, He's going to get it to you. If you need it, He's going to get it to you. He's going to overcome your need. He's going to make a way. He's going to break through. He's going to shine no matter what the circumstance or situation. If the fight is starting to weary you, He says, don't get tired. Don't get tired of doing what is good. I need to hear that verse. I need to hear that thought. I need to hear that encouragement from God. Anyone else in the room? Come on, don't get tired. There are days I just get tired. There are nights I just get tired. There are times I just can't sleep. I need God's strength. I need to know He's with me. He is Jehovah Gabor. He's fighting on my behalf. In the red corner, weighing in at 355 pounds, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my deliverer, fighting on my behalf. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, they ring the bell. He comes out. Come on, He's in it for the fight. He's not afraid of the fight. He's not afraid of the fight. Jehovah. It was the name they couldn't even pronounce in the Old Testament. It was such a holy name. They couldn't say it. It was the incommunicable name of God. They weren't game to say it. But today in Jesus Christ, we can proclaim it, we can own it, we can sing it, we can pray it, we can prophesy it, we can call on Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Gabor, and the other Jehovah that I can't remember right now. Who? That one. Jireh. There must be a name for God that helps me remember. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Let me pray for you today. Come on. You got a good God. You got a good God. So stop going backwards. Don't look back. Don't be led by rationale or reason. Be led by revelation. Let God speak to you about how you live. Father, we thank you today. You're with us. Thank you today. You're a good God. No matter what's going on in our lives, you are a good God. That's our declaration today. You're one that fights for us. You're one that never leaves us alone. You're one that always provides. And I pray for my friends and my family and people online today, our family online, people that are in circumstances that are really challenged right now, for God to break through. Be God of the breakthrough. Be God of the breakthrough for them. Father, it's my prayer today in Jesus' name, where there's sickness and disease, that health and life would rule and reign because of Jesus and everything that He is to us today. You're Jehovah Ra, our healer, our healer, our healer today. That you'd provide for people today. That you'd protect people today. And that you'd lead people towards the promises of God. And there'd be no excuse. No excuse for us. No reason for us to go back to an old life, an old way, an old thought pattern, an old habit, an old lifestyle. But we'd always be cultivating the ground in the promised land. In the promised land. Help us not to get weary and tired and give up, because at the appropriate time we will reap our harvest of blessing, is what your word says today to every one of us, Father. We thank you, God, that you still speak to people today like you did in Isaac's day. You still speak to us. You intervene. You intercept. You bring your revelation. And it's revelation we need. We love you, God. We thank you that you're fighting, that you're in the fire, and that you're making it work for every one of us. So we hang on to the promise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, we're going to worship the Lord and sing this song. There's another in the fire as we close today. Why don't you lift your hands, reach out your hands, give God all your praise, all your worship today before we leave.